Welcome in, everybody, to the latest episode of Believe in Titans, your weekly look at all the comings and goings and happenings with the Tennessee Titans as they, at this point, as they continue to prepare for the 2023 season. Training camp's in full swing. The preseason opener is not that far off, and we will get down to business as usual with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing, David?
Doing good. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, welcome in.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I am David Beauclair. And before we get started, let's point out that the Titans have made a roster move early this week. They have added center Jimmy Murray, the ultimate camp body, I guess you could call this guy. He's been in the league since 2018 when he was an undrafted free agent out of Holy Cross with Kansas City. In that time, has played two games, and they were both his rookie season. Has not played in a regular season game since 2018, but he's been with five teams now, and on and off practice squads, and a guy who clearly has somebody. In fact, he spent a little bit of time on the Titans practice squad during the 2021 season. They added him in mid-October that year, but he was gone by the end of the season. Clearly, they feel like they need a little extra help there for the next part of camp. So that's what they have done to make room for him. They waived wide receiver Jacob Copeland, and you know they seem to have plenty of wide receivers right now, and are all of whom are making contributions. So just a crowded picture at wide receiver. But getting into the meat of things, the backup quarterback situation, we've talked about it. It's going to be one of the most discussed and dissected parts of the preseason. But rookie Will Levis is off to a good start this week. By all accounts, was very good, very productive on Monday, and then perhaps not surprisingly was getting some reps with the second team on Tuesday and performed well again. And Denard, let's start with you. As a guy who has seen, I guess, daily depth charts, are there such things in the NFL during training camp? Is that a significant move that Will Levis is getting time with the second teamers this week all of a sudden?
Yes and no. And yes, what I mean by that, David, I know it's almost I'm contradicting myself, but you will see both players, Malik, and you will see Will Levis take those repetitions with the second team or the third team. What they're trying to do is get a feel for, both quarterbacks and see, how they respond. And it won't faze me if somewhere in training camp, if you see Malik or Will taking some reps with the first team. I mean, that can happen because we know last year with them losing Ryan, they need to figure out really, to me, what's the most important position on the team, and that's your backup quarterback. And when you have an aging quarterback who's going to be 34 years old this season, not to mention how many games he missed last year, five, you need to plug both of those players in and see how they run with each unit. So this is not abnormal. So this is something that you can expect in training camp, David.
So it could be just coincidental that after a good day of practice, that could have been the plan even before training camp started, that, hey, when we get to that Tuesday, we're going to give him a look with the regardless of what he did on Monday then.
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, it's to get a feel. They want to see how Will Levis performs with the second unit. They want to throw as much at him as they possibly can. And like I said before, I think this is it's a great situation for both players, because what it gives them is it gives them really a little bit more experience. It gives them reps. I know Will was talking about that the more reps he's, taken, the more comfortable he's getting into the system. So again, this is just, the offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, saying, listen, I want to see both players and how they take command of the second team. And you might see them taking some reps with the first team, but that doesn't mean Ron is out of a job, David.
No. what's funny about that is I saw a graphic online this week. It was from, I think it was from a Kansas City fan site that they had, they had put up this graphic of how, every team's quarterback and the experience, their experience level. And the point was to show that Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden is one of the, while he still seems like a young guy, is one of the more experienced quarterbacks in the AFC already. And I think Mahomes even saw it on Twitter and commented on the fact, wow, I got old quickly. But they had listed for the Titans Will Levis instead of Ryan Tannehill. And it just amazes me that people can't seem to grasp the fact that Ryan Tannehill is 100% solid as the Titans starting quarterback. I mean, yes, there's questions going forward. I mean, yes, this is the final year of his contract, and yes, it's unlikely this team will give him another contract going forward, but it's not, I mean, it's certainly not a question right now of one of these guys that is going to take his job in week one. It baffles me how people who supposedly cover the league, would make that mistake or have that impression in it, because there's nobody reporting on this team from Nashville, Tennessee, says anything but Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback and he is number one. But John, you've been out there every day of camp so far. What stands out about Levis? What do you see in terms of a comparison with Willis? Is it much of a competition right now for the number two spot?
Yeah, I did think there was significance to the fact that that promotion of sorts, giving Levis his first second team reps, of training camp occurred immediately after he had such a good performance in red zone drills and practices on Monday, and the kind of the one thing that maybe stood out for me, what we saw Levis do on Monday in those red zone drills. He threw about five touchdown passes, which is very good, but not unbelievable in red zone drills. But what he did show was the quick release and the quick decision making. And those are strong suits for him. Sometimes the accuracy and the touch is a concern for Will Levis. But what I think really impressed Mike Vrabel and his staff probably that day was the release, was the decision making. Because that is something that Malik Willis, I think, struggles with at times, not all the time, but we're still seeing in camp sometimes where Malik Willis holds that ball, holds onto it for a long time in the pocket before he makes that throw. And that was to his detriment last year. And I think still something that he needs to work on. And he's much better, I think, this year than he was last. I'll say that. But I do think they really like that quick release and decision making of Will Levis, and I also think too, and we have discussed this also. If they're only going to keep two quarterbacks, which is still a possibility, it was always going to be Levis that was going to be the number two guy, and if that is the case, you've got to start, giving him reps higher up at some point in training camp, and what better time to do it than after he had such a good day on Monday. So it was a good opportunity to start giving Will Levis sort of equal footing with Malik Willis. Because again, as I say, if they only keep two, it's almost a certainty, absolute certainty, that it's going to be Will Levis, who was just drafted this year. And then on the other hand, even if they keep three, which is also a very good possibility, this gives that opportunity for a little even keeled competition, if you will. If you're seeing both Levis and Willis operate with the same personnel and against the same personnel defensively, I think that gives you a little clearer look of who's the better player at this stage. But it is, I will waver, falter just a little bit, like Denard said, there is, it's a bit of a yes and no situation, because honestly, if you'd come out a few days earlier in training camp and gone out there, and Will Levis was overthrowing a guy by about 5 yards in the middle of the field and getting picked off by an undrafted free agent, and Malik Willis was having an especially good day, you'd say, it's pretty clear that Malik Willis is number two. So, it kind of depends on what day you're watching, but I do think it was significant. The traits that Will Levis showed, the release and the decision making really shone Monday. And I think that's why they kind of gave him the bump up. They wanted to see more. Can you do that against the number twos as well as you did against the number threes the previous days?
Yeah, and I always feel compelled at this time of year to caution fans who are particularly interested in quarterback evaluations, whether it's the starter, whether it's a battle for a backup, something like this. You'll see reports out of training camp practices that this guy was 11 for 12 on the day, and this guy was 13 for 16, and the other guy was 8 for 9 or whatever. And those numbers coming out of practices are just so false. I personally have never engaged in them because there are a lot of times where the defensive back is in position to make a play and just doesn't bat the ball down. It's sort of understood during certain periods and certain drills that, hey, let the guy catch the ball and run. When we look at the film, we'll know if you're in the right spot or not. The 7-on-7 stuff, there's obviously no pass rush. The quarterback has all day to stand back there. Sometimes he'll hold the ball 4 or 5 seconds before he throws it, and people will credit that as a completion. So, be careful when you're looking at those numbers, particularly with Malik Willis and Will Levis. As we have said, performance in the preseason games is going to be much, much more telling in terms of their passing numbers than what you're getting right now. In fact, I have to wonder, Denard, did you ever see those sort of reports when you were playing and sort of laugh about them? Like, oh yeah, so and so was 12. Steve McNair was 12 for 12 in practice today, but I would have knocked down three of them that were thrown my way.
David, that's called practice.
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
all it is, practice, and not to mention were they in shorts or were they in full pads?
Yeah, but they certainly haven't been in full pads the whole time.
There
So
you
yeah, I
go.
mean that's
So
another.
when you're
Yeah.
wearing shorts, you can only go. What they don't want you to do is to collide, because that's where guys get hurt. So sometimes, yeah, a defensive back can be in position, but they'll tell you, listen, if you got to go through a guy, don't go through him. We know if you're in position to make that play, you're good. But yeah, that's what you don't want, because the last thing you want at this point, especially early on in training camp, is somebody gets hurt.
Or at any
Yeah,
point, you can think back to the 2000 season when Perry Phoenix ran through Kevin Dyson, and when Dyson was having a terrific season and wrecked his season, knocked him out for the playoffs and the whole thing. I remember that was there were some angry guys on offense that day.
I should also point out one other thing in terms of what we're talking about in the training camp practices this week. Tuesday was also the first day that they worked with unscripted plays.
Yeah.
So I think again, it's another opportunity to look at Willis and Levis, on even terms there, and say which of these guys was performing better with the same personnel in unscripted plays. And most practices, quarterbacks know what plays they're calling. As they're in the huddle, they go up to the line and call them and so forth. Unscripted plays, team goes up to the line, coach says, okay, call this. This is what's happening. And that gives you another indication of if the quarterback can process things quickly. And Levis did, have another good day on Tuesday, in addition to the Monday that set him up to play against the number two. So I think that was important to show he could kind of take that next step, also.
So, John, sticking with you, you say it in a way there's not really a competition for number two because if they keep two, it almost has to be Will Levis. So, as you're looking at practices, as you're looking at this roster, where do you see an interesting competition? What has caught your eye that way?
Yeah, there's a few of them that are still lively. I think, I think offensive line, I'm still not certain that we have figured out who our starting right tackle is. I would have said, had the Titans gone ahead and signed one free agent, George Fant, a lot of experience, a lot of starting experience, I would have said, okay, that's your guy for opening week one. It's going to be tough to knock George Fant out of the starting lineup. But the Titans went another direction, and they signed a kind of a veteran, Chris Hubbard, guy who's only played, total 80 snaps the last couple of years, but does have some experience, years prior to that. He was a starter. So I think he's got a shot if he comes along in camp at being a starter. You know, Jamarco Jones is sort of the guy that's penciled in there right now. He's got some potential, but he doesn't have a lot of experience at right tackle. And even Jalen Duncan, I don't think we'd see him start the year as the starter at right tackle, but as the year progresses, he's got potential. But you know, I think another on the other side of the ball, kind of the position spot that is pretty interesting right now is the inside linebacker next to Azeez Alshire, who is definitely going to be one of the starters there. But the other one, I think, is either going to be Monty Rice or Jack Gibbons, aka Dr. Gibby, the nickname Mike Vrabel gave him. And it's interesting to me, you know, you look at Monty Rice, and he's a guy, you know, certainly has kind of the better pedigree of the two players. I mean, this was guy was a third round draft pick a couple of years ago. You know, I think he's had 10 starts over the last couple of years. He's been pretty productive while he's in there. But I think they like his speed. I think they like his pursuit ability. But there are some things to like about Jack Gibbons as well. And Mike Vrabel talked about him earlier this week. You know, he's a rangy guy. He's tall. He can you know, bat balls away a little bit better. He's a little bit better in coverage, I think, than Monty Rice is. And interestingly enough, both these guys were starting to play a lot towards the end of last year in part due to injury. But you look at the last game, the biggest game of last year, the season finale against Jacksonville, Gibbons has 47 snaps in that game, an inside linebacker. Monty Rice only has 27. So I think it's a pretty good competition right now, and they seem to be going back and forth in terms of who's getting first team reps. So that's another one I think to keep our eye on. And there's probably, you know, one or two others as well, but I feel like you guys are probably going to dive in with your own looks as well here.
Denard, I'll ask you the same question, and I'll also ask you, you know, are guys aware when they're in a competition like that, and it, you know, do you keep track of what the other guy is doing, or is it better just to block that out and try and do the best you can every day, do you think?
David, you always aware as long as you have a number and you go out there on that field, you know, it's open competition. And I don't care. There's no Jeff used to say all the time, just because you're penciled in as a starter don't mean you're gonna start. So that was kind of a way, hey, listen, don't come back here playing around because you can be replaced anytime. So what you do is, and I'm gonna give you kind of a quick background, David, real fast, is that coming back after that Super Bowl loss to St. Louis, of course, everybody was talking about Donald Mitchell stepping in replace of Denard Walker and possibly being the starting cornerback for the Tennessee Titans in 2000. Well, I used to hear the little critics, of course, people like, you know, John Glennon. Not that I'm just kidding, but
Wait a minute.
what you do,
Never.
David, you block all of that out. You know, what you do is you focus on yourself, you focus on getting better. And we all, as a football player, you know that anytime that you step in between those lines, what you're doing, you're fighting for a roster spot. So again, when I look at players, and I'll tell them all the time, focus on you. You learn how to do YDY. You learn how to do you. And when you can do that and focus on getting yourself better, David, that's where the improvement starts. It starts with what you have inside of you. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. You don't focus on anything else around you. And that was something that Coach Fisher, he had a point of emphasis, especially to me, knowing that people on the outside, they're going to look at one game and judge you. Listen, there was 50 some other games before that that Denard Walker stepped up and played big. No one talked about that. No one talked about in the playoffs, the fact that when going down the stretch, now I'm gonna go ahead and get all of this out, David, that Denard Walker was asked to cover Eric Moles, who was a Pro Bowl player in 1999. He was asked to cover Marvin Harrison, he's a Hall of Famer Pro Bowl player. Not to mention going to Jacksonville. If you watch that game, Denard Walker go against Jimmy Smith, who was a Pro Bowl player. But everybody wanted to focus on one game. And David, what I did that whole, when I came back in 2000, you know what I did? I focused on what I can do. And that's the way you go about your job. You learn how to do you. And that was a point of emphasis from Coach Fisher. YDY, you do you.
How hard is that though? Like we'll always hear, you know, it's a big sort of cliche with the fans that, you know, well, you've got a whole off season to think about your last game. I mean, you've said it on here numerous times. You didn't play well in Super Bowl 34. Did that gnaw at you all off season, or did you pretty quickly sort of step back and get some perspective and say, you know what, I played a lot of good games this year, and we were just fine, and sort of, you know, get your confidence back up pretty quickly that way?
You don't define yourself by one game. You know, it's like a guy who goes out there and he plays well, and then he comes back the next game and just absolutely lays an egg. Now you're on the bench. That's the way it works in this league, and you only as relevant as your last play. So what you got to do as a player, Rod Woodson used to tell, he used to say this all the time. He says, "Listen, if you play defensive back in this league, you have a short memory." That means, David, you got to learn how to let things go. Greg Williams used to preach to us all the time, you're going to get beat. It's not a matter of, you know, when it's going to happen eventually. It's inevitable, but it's how you respond to adversity. That's what makes a player have longevity in this league. It's not like Tom Brady, as good as he was over his career, he had some bad games, David.
Yeah, he did it, and I'm sure some terrible throws too that he wishes he had back. And you know what, kind of bringing this back to the discussion about roster battles here, that sort of takes me to where I wanted to go, because it's going to be really interesting to me to watch the kickers. You know, you talk about moments when everybody's watching, and you know, they're you probably made however many hundreds of plays in a season where, you know, you did exactly what you're supposed to do. The ball never came your way. Fans don't see that, right? Fans see when the one ball goes over top of you, and you end up chasing the guy down the sideline and into the end zone. Well, kickers, you know, kickers are in that boat where people know if they did well or not, right? The ball goes through the uprights or it doesn't. And the Titans are looking at two rookies this year. In Caleb Shudak, who they really wanted to take a look at last year, but he hurt himself at the end of minicamp and was lost for the year. And Trey Wolf, an undrafted rookie this year out of Texas Tech. And you know, it's the same sort of thing. You know, you're gonna see practice stats for them, and to this point, you know, both of them have missed two kicks. They've made the vast majority of attempts that they've had, but it's gonna come down to preseason performance for those guys. You just go back to 2002, and it was you know, veteran Sam Ficken against a rookie then, Tucker McCann, and Ficken won the job in two games when he went 3 for 3 in field goals, 6 for 6 in PATs, and the three field goals included a 58-yarder at Tampa Bay, and that 58-yarder basically won the job for him. Now, of course, what ultimately happened is days before the season opener, he gets hurt. The Titans promote Michael Badgley from the practice squad for week one, a terrible game for everybody there against Arizona. Randy Bullock then gets the job and ends up having the job for 2 years. But you know, whatever Ficken and McCann had done in practice was almost meaningless in that moment that Ficken hit a 58-yard field goal in a game. And I think the, you know, these two guys are going to be, you know, they're going to have the same opportunity if one of them can really distinguish himself. And what's fascinating about this competition, you know, what it means in a kicker, I don't know. But physically, these two guys could not be more different, in that Caleb Shudak is listed at 5'7", 177, which means he's probably more like 5'5" and a half, right? And 165 pounds. And Trey Wolf is 6'4", 215 pounds. He's a big guy, and I think people will be sort of expecting him to have a bigger leg that way, but we'll see. And it's not just going to be field goals and PATs, although that's a huge part of it. But Mike Vrabel has made no secret of the fact in recent years that he likes the ball to go to the end zone on kickoffs. And you know, there will be times when Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, calls for a kick that you know goes down inside the 10 or ideally something like that. But more often than not, Mike Vrabel just wants them to bomb it into the end zone, get a touchback. Let's go play defense. So that's the competition that kind of is a little off the radar, I think, that or people haven't talked about it enough right now. You know, this is a team that wants to not have to pay big money for its specialists. It went with Ryan Stonehouse last year as punter, and that was a decision that worked out really well. He's back and still on his rookie contract, very affordable. They want to do the same thing at kicker this year. Ideally, you know, that one of these two guys will be good enough to win the job and keep the job, and they don't have to go sign a veteran free agent at some point. So that'll be fun once we get into the preseason games.
I was going to mention, yeah, one other interesting aspect on that competition, David, too, is that normally, you know, I think over the years when we've seen the kicker competitions, you normally have one vet and
Yeah.
one kid out there, right? You know,
Right.
like, you know, if it's really tight towards the end, you say, okay, you know, this kid's really good, but you know, all things considered, the veteran, he's got a track record. We know what he can do in NFL games. We've seen that he can kick an NFL game, so we're likely to keep him. In this situation, as you mentioned, both these guys are rookies. You know, Shudak played in one game last year, but how do you know? You know, you don't if how these guys are actually going to fare in the NFL, even if they're really good, you know, in training camp, even if they're pretty good in preseason games. You don't know what necessarily it's going to be like for either of these guys if they're the guy, you know, in real live NFL games. So there's no, you can't lean either way based on a guy's experience or track record. In this situation, you're going to have to roll the dice on one of two guys who has virtually no experience.
And let's say this too, another one that I think bears watching, that's not huge, but potentially could be, say, if something happens to Derrick Henry again, and that's Hassan Haskins and Julius Chestnut. You know, last year coming out of training camp, the Titans ended up keeping both of those guys on the active roster, but Chestnut ended up going to the practice squad after a couple of weeks before having ever played a game. It wasn't till December that he saw the field in a regular season game. You know, with Ty-J Spears now playing the role that Dontrell Hilliard had last year, I don't, you know, the roster wrangling will be such that it's certainly not a guarantee that they're going to keep four running backs on there. And, you know, Haskins was a guy, huge special teams performer last year. Had an off the field incident this summer. You know, you don't know how management feels about that. Chestnut was a guy that John Robinson and his guys certainly liked. Maybe Rand Carthen has a different view of him, but that, you know, that could be one of those battles too. Like, and it's just you never know with those last spots on the roster what could happen, and whether, you know, I would think, you know, as Denard said, you're always aware of everybody else who's around. I would assume those two guys are sort of paying a little bit of attention to one another.
Do we have time for on this topic for one more
Go
look at
ahead. That's what
position there?
this time is about. That's what this time of
Yeah.
year is about, right? Until we start
Yeah,
seeing these
sure.
guys.
Absolutely. I was just going to mention too the you know, I think everybody would agree that if healthy, that the Titans starters in the secondary are pretty solid. You know, Byron Booker safety, and then maybe your top three or Murphy Bunting, Fulton, and McCreary at corner. To me, especially at safety, kind of position battles to watch. Who are your guys behind Byard and Hooker? Where do you peg those guys in terms of depth? You know, and do you have enough at this point? Because you've got a collection of guys. You know, you're looking at AJ Moore, Mike Brown, you know, guys that you know have been more special teamers than they have defenders over the years. And you've got a couple of youngsters, Matthew Jackson, you know, is a UDFA. Tyreek Jones is a UDFA. What I'm seeing a lot of in camp is Elijah Molden playing a lot of safety. And that's interesting. He's a smart guy, we know that. And he's always kind of played a little bit of a hybrid role in between corner and safety also, because he's played in the nickel. But is that really, to me, is that your next guy up at safety behind Byron Hooker at this point? Is he high quality enough to be that number three guy at this point? And if it's not him, do the other guys have enough experience? That's an area that concerns me, just because the drop off is so severe after those after Byard and Hooker at safety.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, that is kind of a result of the fact that, in 2021, the Titans drafted a safety in Brady Breece, and midway through the season cut him. Detroit ended up picking him up, and he's been gone ever since. Last year they drafted Theo Jackson. Early in the year they cut him. Minnesota picked him up. He's long gone now. There was a plan. There was a succession plan there that certainly hasn't worked. And let's point this out too. This year, a rule change was put in where there's only one cut. There's no cut to 85 and then to 75 and down, as has been. There is one cut from 90 players to 53. And Denard, I want to ask you this: for those guys who are battling for the last five or six spots on the roster, some of those guys are going to get a third preseason game that they wouldn't have gotten previously. How much can a guy do in that last week of practice and that last preseason game, you think, to win a spot that maybe he didn't have going into that week?
Well, because that last preseason game, you're only going to see your backups, the guys that are fighting for those spots. You won't see any starters. That's the game against the New England Patriots, right, in Nissan Stadium. So that's what coach is going to do. They're going to they. That's what you do in that last preseason game, and it never fails. I played 9 years, and they will tell players, listen, the starters are not going to play a down, but this is a game that you can go out there and make a name for yourself. And guys will go out there and they'll tell you, fly around. This can be not, it can be your last play here, but it also can be your first play in another organization. Because remember, just because you don't make it for the Tennessee Titans, and we know that that's going to happen, there's other clubs. There's 31 other clubs that are looking at you and they're looking to pick players up. So again, when you go into that last preseason game, David, and even in practice, every rep is going to depend, it's going to, the way I look at it is every rep that you take in the NFL will determine if you're going to have a job or not. So even if it's practice or in a preseason game, that's why you hear coaches all the time say, listen, I know AJ Moore, Mike Brown, Matthew Jackson, they don't have much experience. But what we're trying to do is to see if you fit what we're trying to do. And if not, there can be 31 other teams that are looking, because we know that this roster is going to change before the first game against the Saints on the 10th. It's going to be a whole new different supporting cast, because you know that when guys get cut, they're going to go to the wire, and they're going to bring in more players to make sure that 53-man puzzle, every piece fits. So again, everything is still up for grabs right now at this time of year.
And that's part of what makes it a fun time of year. It's training camp football is it grasps people's attention. It's been a long time since football season, and by this time of year, everybody's ready for some games, ready for the fall to come, and to have Sunday afternoons and Saturday afternoons and Friday nights, depending on what is your favorite version of football. For some people, it's all of the above, I would say. And that's why we're here to look at this. We will be back next week to update you and get you ready for the first preseason game, which they are not as exciting as the regular season, but it's still football. I know I'll be up for it. I assume you all will too. And until then, John Glennon, thanks as always.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Denard Walker, thank you, sir.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Yep, and I am David Beauclair, and again, we thank you all, as always, for listening to Believe in Titans.